and Elevation Radio.
God bless you. This is Elevation Radio 1, and I'm your host, Pastor Steve, the Music Man Turner. And we thank you for taking the journey with us. This is the program that spotlights positive people doing positive work while serving a positive God whose name is Jesus, and there is nothing wrong with that. We lift him up here. We extol him. We expound him. We worship him here at Elevation Radio 1. Listen, our subject matter today is you are invited. You point to yourself and say you are invited. Are you willing? That's the question. Are you willing to come to the table? Are you willing to come to the table? Before we get started, let's go to our verse to rehearse from the most beautiful part of this program. That is my lovely wife, First Lady Leora Turner, affectionately known as the Queen. Oh, Queen, how are you today? Leora? Okay. Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay, can we get the verse to rehearse, please? Okay, Mackenzie, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to get my wife to read the verse to rehearse, which... Hold one second.
Hello?
Can you read the verse to rehearse, please?
I can't hear anything.
We can hear you. Just read it, please.
Okay.
Okay, where are you reading from?
I'm reading from Psalm 23.
Okay, can you read it? Okay, some trouble and distraction in the background. I'm not sure what that is. Can't think of it. Lower that sound.
Psalm 23:5.
Please read it.
I prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemy. I anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And as we go into understanding a little bit more about this, an invite is a polite, formal request to go to a destination, place, or thing. And that's very important. And we receive invitations all the time to do many things. We're going to get into that a little bit. Do I have Pastor Beverly Willen online? Already. Okay, who do I have online today?
Leora Turner.
Okay, I hear you fantastically. This is the great VIP Professor Leroy McKenzie Jr. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's me.
That's fantastic. And who else is on the line?
Cheryl Crockett.
Fantastic. Well, Cheryl Crockett, looks like today you may become my featured guest, and my featured guest is not here. So things change. So as we move forward, and thank you for calling in, the word invite, again, is, like I said, a polite formal request to go somewhere to attend some event. And events are very important. There are many events in the Bible which are very important to note. Some of the major events have been the creation of man and woman in Genesis, as well as the crucifixion of Christ, and also the revelation of God, and it comes to the book of Revelation, which is a whole event by itself, a rather scary event that is coming to pass before our eyes. And so, as a matter of fact, there are even websites that track events that you were invited to. Matter of fact, since I'm talking to a PR expert, Professor McKenzie, can you name a event website that you may use yourself that tracks events that you have put together?
That tracks events?
Yes, sir.
I mean, the only thing that I think of is Eventbrite.
There you go. That's it. That's all you got to do right there. I knew you had it in you, sir. Eventbrite.com tracks events for event planners. Let you know how many folks are going to get tickets, who you sent requests to, invites to, and gives you the status if they've actually accepted that, which is very important. So any major event planner knows about Eventbrite. So I got the right person. That's fantastic. And an event is an organized setting with a motive. Uh-oh. You may be invited to events, and the question is, what was the motive of the event planner who invited you? Well, you've done events before, Dr. McKenzie, so what's on your mind when you're inviting people to book signings?
Well, I mean, it's for book signing. It's to get the people that are coming to the book signing are either familiar with the author, or that they are coming because it's something that the book that is being signed or being sold that they would be interested in, and it's to give the author exposure.
Exposure is very good. As a matter of fact, exposure is what most pastors and promoters say to new artists. We would get you exposure. And, you know, I've heard that over and over again for many years. I don't know about them, but I just want to get paid. I got bills. I got a wife. I got things to do. And so that would be my motive for taking an event. I just want to be honest. I understand when I looked this up that there were – how many Bible scriptures are on this word invite? You can jump in there, Dr. Crockett, if you want. How many times does the word invite appear in Scripture?
I have to admit I would have to check my Bible app and check those stats online and maybe get Dr. Google to weigh in.
No cheating allowed, no.
No
okay.
Cheating allowed. Then I will take the loss on that one, and I will say that I do not know.
All right, guys, I got to tap out here. Let me go to Professor McKenzie Jr., who is a learned individual. He's got all kinds of Harvard degrees and Yale and all that good stuff in Ivy League. How many times does it mention? How many Bible scriptures are in the Bible about invite?
I ain't got a clue.
Oh my God! Can't believe it. Okay, this is highly irregular. Let me go to the Queen. Queen, how many times is the word invite in or Bible scriptures about invitations in the Bible? My wife was truly saved the day. Huh? Oh, here we go.
That's the word invite.
Yeah, if you keep saying the question over and over again, you might get the answer, right? He calls it stalling, right?
Take a wild guess.
Take a wild guess. Go ahead. Live dangerously. Live dangerously.
Live dangerously. 101.
Okay, over. Well over, but at least you tried. You had courage. And because you're my wife, the queen, I'll give you my love. 55 times.
Thank you.
So great. It's all right. And so we get invited to all kinds of things, parties and weddings, social events, grand openings, baby showers. Did I miss any? CD release parties. My goodness, trial sermons. When are you going to do your trial sermon, Dr. McKenzie?
Dan, you got me because that ain't on my list, so.
That's not on your list, huh? Okay, no problem.
No, that's not on my list.
Let me see. Oh, I got you. Scared. Let me see. Baby showers, job fairs, revivals.
Food drive.
Yes. Go ahead, Dr.
Food
Tucker.
Drive.
Throw it up in there. Throw it up in there.
We're getting invitations to get our flu shots.
Oh, I don't want that, though. That's one I want to answer or respond to. Concerts. I'm scared. Sporting events. If I said sporting events, I would have Dr. McKenzie because he's a former basketball star. And the midget league of men's basketball. But, okay. All right. And let's see here. The word event is actually in the Bible numerous times, too. How many times is the word events in the Bible? Or how many? No. Let me rephrase that. How many important events are in the Bible? There's a number. You want to start, Dr. Clark? Take a guess.
I would not. I'm not sure I'm going to be very good at this game, but I definitely have some things to weigh in on. I can't answer your question.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. The doctor is tapping out. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go to Dr. Leroy McKenzie, Jr. How many important events are in the Bible, sir?
I have no idea. There's too many to count.
They fall so quickly. I can't believe it. Let me go back to my reliable and faithful... Huh?
I'll tap back in and say all of them.
No. No. We have to have rules here, ground rules. Let me go to a reliable source here. O'Quinn.
I'm here.
Okay, great.
I'm here.
How many important events are in the Bible, sweetheart? Take a guess.
I would say since BC. I'll say 200.
Okay. You're again well over the limit. Do you know what you want on the answer?
Yeah.
And the answer is All right, answer, and drum roll, is 70. There are 70 major events in the Bible.
I should have known
because
I think that's all
over
time. You're right.
Can you name three of them? Let me go a little higher. Can anybody name three major events in the Bible? Anybody?
Major events.
Give me one. Oh, Lord, please give me one.
The feast.
Okay, well, I can go for that. All right. Let me go back down the line. Go ahead, Dr. McKenzie. What you got? You got one?
Day one when God created the earth.
He had to be all spiritual and everything. Day one. Okay. That would be historic and monumental. I'll go for that, too. Dr. Crockett, what you got?
The day that Jesus was raised from the dead.
Oh, heavy, heavy. Matter of fact, let me clap my hands.
Yeah.
Woo! That was deep. That's a grand slam right there. Yeah, that's fantastic. We have another caller on the line. Welcome to Elevation Radio 1. How can I help you?
You talking to me?
I'm talking. Yes, I'm talking.
Okay, yeah.
Can you identify yourself, sir?
Yeah, my name's Craig, and I'm from California, and I'm sitting here listening, and I'm just thinking what you guys are talking about. I'm just like, well, there's a lot of them. You know, I can name a lot of right off the top of my head, you know.
Oh, man.
Well, let me see what you got there, Craig, from California. What you got?
I got, like the one person was saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and that says a whole lot about everything. So, I mean,
that's right.
Pretty wraps it up for me. That's everything.
That's
all.
That's a home run. I wouldn't allow you to do that, but he's already said it.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, like when he parted the Red Sea, right? He parted the Red Sea, right? He took his children by the hand out of Egypt, right? God took his children out of Egypt, and his children got stuck over here and got stuck over here and stuck over here because they got in bondage in all these places. But God doesn't look at that. He looks at the time his children spent with him, just like today.
Like
we make mistakes, man. We make mistakes. It's inevitable. We're all going to make mistakes. But at the moment of realization, we're about to make a mistake. When we made a mistake, we have an opportunity, man. God says, you see, everything's an opportunity for you to put your faith in him.
That's right. Go ahead, Craig, sir.
And then you get to learn to trust him in all these areas of your life concerning Christ working in you, through you, and for you. So you can't really be complaining about things.
That's right. Can you say that again? Because my co-host, Dr. McKenzie, complains about me too often. Say
oh, my
answer.
God.
Okay. So
straight him out.
We don't have any business complaining about anything because God himself has made himself real to us, and that means the power of God comes upon you. That's the Spirit, Christ's Spirit. And you know Christ is the true light. And what's the property of this light? To shine where? Outside of ourselves into the minds and hearts of the people he's having a relationship with outside of ourselves. And we're like, whoa, God's doing something amazing.
You are okay with me, Chris, California. That's fantastic. You are absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And there's nothing wrong with that.
A couple things right there. There's a couple right there, but you can chew on that for a minute.
I'm chewing right now.
It's going to take some time. Both take some time.
Yeah.
I'm chewing too.
Listen. Let me tell you what I like about Chris from California. He is excited about God. He's excited about his Savior.
Yeah.
He's excited. And I think more Christians, when we spend time too much in Christianity, you get kind of dull and lazy. That first joy, that first spiritual high you had when you first got saved, you should be able to somehow maintain that all the way through. So you had to go back and revisit your salvation and maybe get re-energized like Chris. I like that.
Yeah, when you stay in the Word, that's what happened for me. You know, you got to stay in the Word. Everything was pointing to the Word, to the Word, to the Word. And I was thinking, okay, get in the Word, right? And because God was saying, now this is my perfect will for you to be in my love like this. Don't think that this isn't my perfect will. And I was like, okay. So I learned right away where to go. Open up the Bible, sit at the feet of Jesus, and listen to what God's saying.
That's the formula. It's fantastic. Well, hold on a second, Chris. I can hear the wheels turning in the mind of one Dr. Leroy McKenzie, Jr. What have you to say, sir? What say you?
Who?
Well,
my co-host, Dr. McKenzie. Are you awake?
I am certainly awake. I definitely think that the caller is truly you can tell he's excited about the Lord and is raring to run.
Yes, that's fantastic. We appreciate Chris from California. That's for certain. Queen, what do you have to say about Chris from California?
Chris from California, you came in like a rushing of a wind, and I'm telling you, as soon as you spoke, I felt like I was encouraged because you have touched my heart. I really appreciate it because that's what we're looking for, excitement in the Lord. Someone who walks, someone who speaks with authority and dignity, and you did just that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Let's go to Dr. Crockett. What do you think, Dr. Crockett?
I hear the enthusiasm, and the word enthusiasm, the definition and the root word has to do with the phrase God within. So I hear the God within him energizing him to participate in this conversation that glorifies him.
Watch yourself now. Watch yourself. I think you're going to find something here. It says where two or three are gathered, there he's in the midst. And if you keep, y'all keep going on, we may have a problem here. I understand that the Hebrew word for invitation, the Hebrew word for invitation is kurium. Kurium, and it means to exclaim or to cry out. And that's something that there are different levels of praise, halal and tehillah. And I believe that when David was in trouble in Psalms, he didn't just have a pity party to himself. He, at some point, cried out. And do you know what that really means, when you're crying out to God? Does anybody know what it means?
Crying out?
Yeah.
I would say it's pleading to God, like tarrying to him.
Uh-huh. You're getting warm. You're getting warm there. You want to help out, Dr. McKinney?
Well, I think that he cried out means that he prayed to him.
We're in the neighborhood. Dr. Crockett, what you got there?
I'm still thinking.
Still thinking? Okay. She's pending. Chris from California, what do you think that means?
To me, it means two different things off the top of my head. One is when I cry out to God, it's because when he shows me what I was doing, because what I do and he does are two different things. When he shows me what I was doing, I cry out to God to forgive me. And he does. And he does. That's one way. And the other way is when I see someone else suffering and my heart cries out to God. And it's not like he's outside of myself. He's inside of myself. And that's where the work is actually taking place, inside of who I am. And since that's where I'm speaking from, my heart, when I open my mouth and my lips are moving, they're telling on my heart where God's doing this amazing, wonderful work, and he's called me to do this work in his love, and that's what I do. I walk in his love every day just like we all do, and we're all going to learn and grow together.
I tell you, that is fantastic. He is in the neighborhood. Let me come back to Dr. Crockett. Do you have it yet, Dr. Crockett?
Ring the bell.
You're still tapping out, huh? Pending.
Yes. I have something else, though.
Okay. Oh, what you got? Enlighten us.
I would put to you that there are many invitations in the Bible that do not contain the word invite or invitation.
Uh-huh.
I present as an example Psalm 95:6. Come, let us bow down and worship. That's an invitation. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 95:1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. There is Song of Songs 7. Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. These are invitations. There are times in the gospel where people said, come, let us see this thing that the Lord has done. Not just in the gospel. It's elsewhere in the Bible, too.
You seem to be getting excited about this whole thing.
There's a time when in Genesis 11, where the angels were sent, come, let us go down and confuse their language. That was an invitation. So there are many, many, many invitations in the Bible that do not contain the word invite or invitation.
Oh, Oh, so you were trying to get real deep here.
Yeah, I was trying to add to your numbers.
Thank you so much. And so we're going somewhere. When I was talking to Google and I asked about how many times the word invite appeared, Google had a different take on this. And he replaced the word invite, watch out, with the word love. Mm.
Wow.
Because depending upon what you're inviting them for, how much emotion, how much love, how much eros love, how much agape love do you really have to accept the invitation? We invite you all day. I invited somebody to my home and my HQ to have lunch, and they showed up with their fork and knife. And sat, ate everything on the plate, even the lining of the plate.
Oh my God!
That Crockett's name was Leroy McKenzie Jr.
Oh my God!
I thought I was gonna go for refills, but anyway, he was very happy, and we were happy to have him to accept our invitation, which he did wholeheartedly. And he sends out invitations to me on a weekly basis, but I can't always accept every invitation based on time, health, or finances. Yeah. My wife actually, because they are also romantic invitations, and my wife sometimes gives me the romantic invitation, the winking of the eye, the hand on my shoulder, the sweet voice to let me know that she wants to be romantically romantic and have a moment alone. Yeah. So there are romantic invitations. Uh-huh. She's blushing now. Okay, good blushing.
Well, you're a very, very lucky man.
Huh?
Thank you.
I said, you're a very lucky man to have such a wonderful, wonderful wife who can see that God has placed a wonderful calling upon her man, and she gets to become the woman that God made her to be.
Keep talking about that, Chris. I like that. She's blessed. She's blessed and highly favored.
Yeah, yeah. She's blessed.
Yeah. And so there we have political invitations, which the Democratic Party is asking you to vote for them, and the Republican Party is asking you to vote for them. We extended an invitation to a city official here in Baltimore to be on this program at some point. I'm still waiting for them to respond to come to the table. And I'm not going to talk about it any further, but so far, it was, you know, we're still waiting for them to accept the invitation to come to the table.
Sweet.
Have mercy. And so... the key again is the motive. What is the motive behind the invite? And so, Dr. Crockett, you have something that you want to invite folks to, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yes, go ahead, speak about it.
Thank you. In the wake of COVID-19, the pandemic unfolding in our country and in the world, and then quickly followed by multiple murders of black people, brown people, many of which were in police custody, unarmed. I was invited. I accepted the invitation to raise my voice, but to do so in a safe manner so that I did not increase my risk of contracting COVID-19 and put myself in danger of violence that might erupt in mass gatherings. And I gathered with a few friends, family, acquaintances, and started something called Sit Out to Sit In. Because if you remember, sitting in was what people did in the 50s and 60s when businesses would not serve minorities, particularly black people. And I was too young to participate in the protests of those days. But now that's not the case. And I wanted to do something to make a difference, but I knew that I would be putting my health at a severe risk. And then as I watched the numbers of COVID deaths in this country increase, it dawned on me that at least 95% of everyone who has died, and the number is somewhere around 175,000 Americans who have died, the majority of that number are eligible or registered voters. And that is the great statement. That is the great protest. I'm not saying who you should vote for. I'm saying you should vote and that you should protect your health so you can live your life, the life that God has given you, so that you're not under medical care when November 3rd rolls around. So it occurred to me that posting, because some people want to make a statement, posting online is one way to protest virtually. And so we started a protest virtually just to make our statement, just to make a public statement, just like baptism is our public statement of our allegiance with Christ. Well, that's for Christians. This is for anybody who wants to stand up and say that police brutality and systemic racism are wrong and they're unacceptable in this country. Anybody who wants to stand up and say that publicly, post it online. Use the hashtag sit out to sit in. We're sitting out. We're finding a safe place, and if there is no safe place to go outside, do it inside your house. A camera phone will take your picture wherever you like, as long as there is light. So we started posting, and we got some phenomenal submissions from Washington State, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Chicago, Illinois, New York, and, of course, the DMV, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And they're posted. If you look at the hashtag, sit out to sit in, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you will see our posts. And I encourage you to click on those posts because most of them on Twitter and on Instagram have tagged the governor or a city council member or a mayor of the community where the person who posted it is from. And every time you click on a post that tags them, they get a notification, and they're more likely to see it. However, our initial launch was Juneteenth to Independence Day weekend. And when we finished, we learned that more people were dead unnecessarily, unarmed, black or brown, and very often at the hands of a police personnel. And I said, we have to keep this going because some may be expecting all of the protests after George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery were killed. They were expecting this to die down, and maybe we'll hear a little flicker of something next February when Black History Month starts again. And I said, we have to keep this going. There are many people who are protesting virtually. Let's add our voices to it, and let's do it in a safe way. So for August, we did a phone call protest or phone call social justice project where we called the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, the governor of Kentucky, and the attorney general of Kentucky to simply ask. We have a script and everything. It's posted online, and you can do it too. And say, what's taking so long? Breonna Taylor was an unarmed, innocent, sleeping person. Why did she have to lose her life? And why should the people who killed her, one of whom was shooting through a window that was covered by curtains, so he didn't know what he was shooting at.
He's not trained for that.
He was, I'm sorry?
He's not trying to do that.
No, he's not trying. He was definitely fired for having done that. But
mm-hmm.
fired is not enough because he murdered someone. And
let me
render aid, medical aid to her. She just died, and she was lying there for 20 minutes before she died, and they could have helped her. So
that's the same thing with Eric Brown. I think he laid in the street when they shot him. He just laid him in the street and didn't call an ambulance and all that. Kyron West, same scenario. Matter of fact, are you familiar with Tawanda Jones?
Not yet.
Okay. Once I get your information, I will try to connect the two of you, because I think that the two should be actually working together, because since you're on the same team, it's very important.
Yes, and I'm working to build my team. We have a team of about 15 plus that are committed, and a handful more who have participated with us. And I'm trying to build the team and just spread the word. Let's protest and be safe about it. And I want to add, let's protest and be respectful about it, because nonviolence on an online forum, peaceful nonviolence, when you pick up the phone, means using respectful words. The woman who answered the phone when I called the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, she didn't do anything to harm Breonna Taylor, but she told me she has been receiving threats. Just because she works for the mayor, and she's the person who answers the phone for people who are complaining about the officers not being arrested yet. So, I told her the purpose of my call is completely peaceful and nonviolent, and I'm very sorry that that has happened to you. And I went on to tell her my questions, and she said she would relay my concerns to the mayor. And I think that it is appropriate to make sure that the mayor, the governor, the AG, and anybody else, because right now the case is with the FBI, and she said that it has to do with ballistics. They're waiting for a ballistics report. I think that's taking too long. But ultimately, we can be respectful.
The slowness of all this is not that's the same thing they have here with Tawanda Jones and trying to get the medical examiner to examine the body and give a final determination and coming to conclusions. If they slow it down to hoping that you will, get frustrated or you will die out before there is a lawsuit or whatever. And that your strategy should actually be, I ask you to elevate that into a nationwide scenario, because we need those same phone calls here in Baltimore.
Yes.
To the mayor and to the governor and to the state's attorney. Yeah, we need those here. And
yes, I have
that's
been
important.
Working. I did have participation from my council member-elect from my part of the city, Antonio Glover. He actually showed up and recorded video about my protest, and he's supporting what I'm trying to do, and I will be working with him and speaking with more people in local government about this protest.
And where are you located?
I'm in Bel Air Edison, and I shared previously that I called 911 and they asked my race, and I complained, and they told me that it was the policy of Baltimore Police Department to ask the caller's race, but it's only happened once. Yeah, and I've called many times in the 2 years that I've lived here. I call when it's necessary, but they tell me that it is the policy of Baltimore Police Department, and I have it in writing. I have my complaint in writing. And a person
hold on a
who
second.
Sounded yes.
Let me do a survey here. Dr. McKenzie, have you had a chance to call 911 in the last 2 years?
No, sir.
I know you live a clean life, but I'm just saying, for anything at all?
No, sir.
It's incredible. Let me go here. Queen, have you had a chance to call 911 for anything?
within the last year, no.
Wow. Y'all must be Puritans. I've called 911 myself, and I've never had that statement being made, probably because I sound European, I guess. I'm not sure. But let me see here. Chris, you're from California. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever called 911 the last 2 years?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm striking out. But how does that sound? Does that even sound logical?
It doesn't sound logical to me at all. And I need to add that the person who asked me my race sounded as though he might be white. Every other time that I have called 911, it's not because I've done something, because you don't do anything to call 911. You call when something has happened to you. I've called, and when the person who answers sounds as though she may be African-American, I don't get that question. The fellow who called me back to tell me that it was Baltimore police policy had a Hispanic-sounding name. So we can assume that I only spoke with one person who sounded as though he may be white. And
so you were making an invite. You were saying that you needed some kind of request,
yes,
again, to a person, place, or thing, and you got jilted.
Yeah, I requested that that the police come and help me with some vandalism that happened on my property, and I got asked my race. And my invitation is to the Baltimore Police Department to help me understand why it is their policy to ask the race of the people who call.
Okay.
And then because I have been told by a Baltimore police officer that it is a policy, I would like to know why most of the people that I've spoken to are not enforcing that policy or not abiding by it.
Let's take it a step further. Since we're on radio, since we have a media voice, let's just go here, because it's going to be played over again, rebroadcasted. Let's take it here. The commissioner's name is Michael Harrison. Michael Harrison. Okay, so let's say here, Michael Harrison, if you listen to this program, which you just may be, I want you to call in at 1-914-205-5353. Brandon Scott, if your people are listening to this program, I want you to call in at 1-914-205-5353. And any delegate, any city council person who's eavesdropping on this program, call in and tell us why it is the policy of the Baltimore City Police Department to get into race before you respond to do your job. I don't understand.
Me neither.
Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't 911 more than just the police? Isn't it also for the fire department as well?
As 301. 301 is the city service.
911 is you call for an ambulance, you can call for the fire department, and you can call for the police when you dial 911.
Correct. Usually what they would ask is 911, what is your emergency? Correct?
Right.
Yes.
That's what they used to ask.
I told them what my emergency was, and it was vandalism on my property, and I had a security camera, and I later reviewed the security camera footage. It hadn't occurred to me because I was upset when I called, and I found out who actually did the vandalism, and it was a child in my neighborhood who was just playing, and I said, there's no way I'm going to subject that little brown boy to somebody who's going to ask me my race. So I dropped the matter. I said, my tree's going to be all right. The police said the tree was going to be all right. And I said, okay, but I'm going to complain. And I had no idea that they were going to tell me what they told me. Yeah.
So this is a new date.
Yes, because there was a suggestion in my conversation with council member-elect Glover. He said, could it be that the police department is trying to track the number of African Americans who actually dial 911 because of racism? There is a theory that African Americans don't want to call 911. And so they want to keep track of that, which takes me back to my other question. Why isn't everybody asking race when you call? The fact that the white police officer or the person who sounded as though he was white asked me my race and then doubled down and said, is that what's on your driver's license, when I answered him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's this rich?
Suggests to me a patronizing.
Hold on a second. What's it? Your zip code's not in 15, is it?
No, it is not. It's 13. I'm on the east side, northeast side, Bel Air Edison.
You're still a troublemaker, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
You're a troublemaker. So we will not respond over there in that section of people like yourself because of the danger to our. We're shorthanded anyway, and I'm not going over there. Highly volatile area. Can't you just, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what that this is part of the laziness and racism, because when I worked in the Western District, they didn't want to write reports for people, so one lady couldn't read. So they said, well, she can't read no way, so let's not just not write a report for her. And I said, I'm going to write a report for her. They said, no, don't do it, because she can't read no way. So I said, well, maybe her nephew can read. Maybe her cousin can read. She deserves to get everything that anybody else gets in Roland Park, where, you know, folks have fair skin and are wealthy, like my co-host, Leroy McKenzie. And so they should get every thing that every citizen gets, because they are paying for our salary. So they left me there, and I sat and wrote the report for her. And yes, I know she couldn't read it, but I said, if you got anybody in your family who can read this, give it to them. You don't treat people any different because of, I hate that, big S and the big little U kind of thing. That's terrible. And that's how the police department also runs, if they can avoid, in certain segments where the person has the mayor's and the number one speed dial, they get a special treatment. And if you're in the ghetto, in the hood, you get leftovers. That's how it's been done historically.
Wow.
Sure.
Well, now it's
oops, was I supposed to say that? Sorry.
Well, I need to clarify that this was at the beginning of the pandemic, and the police department had also begun to prioritize calls that were more urgent, where somebody was in immediate danger, et cetera, and they would send officers to that. They said because of the pandemic – because there was no perpetrator in the area, and
really?
The damage had already been done, yeah. That they would take the report, my complaint, by
really?
Phone.
Really? Did we have a picnic this year?
I don't think we've had it yet, have we? No, we haven't had it yet. Preakness? No.
Okay.
No.
Well, anyway, all right. Let's see here. Mackenzie, are you going to be a part of this?
Be a part of what?
Oh, my God. Were you totally in a coma?
No, I've been listening to everything. There hasn't been a question asked. She's just been commenting on her interaction with the police department. Now, you asked me if I had an encounter with the police department having to call 911, and I responded no.
No, I didn't know all that.
You have something else that you comment on.
I was here when I asked that question. I'm talking about having a voice and joining her movement of the sit in and sit out, and raising your voice to talk to the powers that be about police brutality. That's what I'm talking about. That's what she talked about.
Okay.
I'm with extra work I got to do here.
No, it's not. It's not extra work. It's you defining and being definitive about what it is that you want me to respond to.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
The only thing she's talked about has been her encounter with the police department. Now, she did mention how the nonviolence and everything that she has done, but that wasn't your question. Your question was just an open-ended one that didn't have any kind of finite to it.
Chris from California, help me out, sir. Help me out, sir. I got trouble. I'm sure you got it, Chris.
Go, girl.
Hey, California, you got it.
Hey, look, y'all got it. I just want to tie it all together.
Yeah, help me out, man.
Okay. Now, look,
tie it all together.
You're talking about these popo, right? These police, you know, and look, these popo start when they're like 19 years old thinking about being popo, man. They be getting a job because they know that they got to support themselves because they're gonna become a popo, and they got to start at the bottom. The popo got to start at the bottom, work his way up to the top. Now, I know these popo, man, they be looking around thinking, man, look, I have little girl arms, and I want to make these arms. I want girl arms anymore. They say, popo, get over here and bust on this iron, boy. They said, put those baby rattlers down and get some of this real stuff, boy. And so popo's over there trying to pick this big stuff up and get big, you know, because he don't want to be a little popo. He want to be a big popo, right? Now, these guys say, look, man, we got some special stuff here for your little ass. And this will make you bigger, quicker. But, you know, you might get an attitude, though. But it's okay. You're going to get buffed. And so this stuff that they take makes them all irritated. And they have problems in relationships with people, especially their family members and people outside of themselves. So these guys might be provoked to do aggressive force because they're all jacked up on this juice.
Interesting.
Wow, that is a perspective I had never considered. It is so realistic. Thank you for that.
That's Chris from California. I think that. Wait, hey, Chris, now, why, let's not get personal. Why are you talking about my co-host, Leroy McKenzie?
I'm not talking about him.
I am. He's a rejected police officer, too. That's going to be okay. But anyway.
I'm the daughter of a police officer, and my brother was also a police officer.
Okay.
So
now,
many police in my family, and retired police officers in my family. So I grew up kind of like a unicorn because the experiences that my friends and classmates were having in their families with the police were different from my own because my dad was police, and I didn't realize it until very recently.
Wow.
Did he ever come home and share with you anything that he went through during the course of his tour of duty?
No. He kept very quiet about the heavy things that were happening in Washington, D.C. He was a Metropolitan Police detective, and he kept very quiet. And he definitely needed to decompress most days when he got home, because we were a family that sat at the dinner table, and we sat together and ate our dinner together, and he was usually very quiet during those times. And
wow.
And I didn't understand it as a child, but I do understand it now.
Well, I know that when I did it for 5 years, when I came home for whatever relationship I was in, I had to, I would say, give me at least 10 or 15 minutes by myself because I had to process all the crime and the lies and the murders and the blood scenes I saw. It was a horrible experience, and it's urban warfare, that's what it is, comparable to being on the battlefield.
My brother tried to follow in my dad's footsteps, and you know, he had idolized him all of his life, and he made it on the force with no trouble. But when he got there, it was different than what he expected, and he almost immediately applied to be a firefighter, and that's where he found his true calling.
Yeah. I thought about that, too. I was going to go to the fire department, but then I realized that I had to go into a burning building, and I said, I do not have that kind of courage. I'm going to go the other way.
Wow.
Those are real heroes to me. But since we're talking about invitations, I have to sum it up this way. There is, as I told Dr. McKenzie earlier, there is one invitation that most folks do not want to be bothered with. Does anybody know what it is?
What was it?
I said, there's one invitation that most people do not want to be bothered with. They'll run from it.
Is it the one that begins with, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock"?
Yes.
Oh. Wow.
Go ahead with that one.
I finally got one right. I finally got one right. I'm so blessed.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's it. That's
oh,
it.
My.
The invitation. Matter of fact, go ahead and finish it out.
All righty. I don't want to botch it. That's why I look it up on my lovely Bible app.
Go ahead and do it.
Yes, that's why I'm taking the moment to do it and read it correctly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
And we have stymied Dr. McKenzie because he didn't know it. I live for these moments.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20.
No.
Chris, expound on that for me, sir.
Yeah, that's first century language. You know, Revelation is talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And remember when Jesus was outside of Jerusalem up on the Mount of Olives and the disciples came to him and they asked him, which who was Christ, what will be the sign of your coming? And the Christ told them, when you see the Roman army surrounding Jerusalem, to get out of there and go to Pella, where the seven churches of Asia Minor were, because God was coming in his judgment. So God had mercy on these people.
That's a, the sun is shining in my studio now because God is happy. That is the invitation that God wants you to accept. Don't run from it. And so it's an invitation to live on earth with God and through Jesus Christ, to accept him through the death, burial, and resurrection, that he died for your sins on the cross. He came down 42 and two generations to die for you, even though you didn't know him, even though you don't love him, even though you despise him. He still sent his son to die for you. That's the only way that God could be pleased with the offerings and sacrifices. And so with that, he is the only one who's gotten up out of the grave to declare that he is God and that you can, like he, get up out of your grave and live again. I just attended a funeral today of a good friend, changed the lives of many people. But as our pastor said, that eventually we'll see her again if we live right, do what we need to do, that we rejoice with her in heaven with her Lord, which is our Lord. And his name is Yeshua ben Yosef, Jesus the Christ, the Christos, the Adonai, the Elohim. He is the only wise and true God. So I would recommend him today to you. This is my invitation to you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And there's something about that personal. It means wherever you are, in whatever condition you're in, whatever health condition, mental state of mind, deviant behavior, whatever it is, God is not afraid of it. And he can work wonders in you. Just give it over to him, your mind, your heart, your soul, your body. What you got to say about that, Dr. McKenzie? Junior.
Well, it's the one offer that that he gives us that we can't refuse.
You can't refuse it, but it'll be a problem for you. Down the road.
Well,
the valley.
I'm not going to say that because it's an offer that you can't refuse because of the consequences of refusing. If you choose to refuse it, like you said, there are eternal consequences to it. So it's an offer that you can't refuse.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Queen, what you got to say about it?
Who?
Don't, Is she awake?
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
What was the question?
Okay, what? Okay. So you didn't hear a thing, huh?
I logged out, whatever.
Oh. So is the invitation to be saved, is that relevant? Is that important? How do you feel about it?
I think it's very important.
Why?
Saved. Because God came into the world to save us from sin. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, I think it's on. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, my wife's a preacher. She's about to go into preacher mode.
Amen.
God came into the world to save you from its sins. Go ahead.
It's the truth. He came into the world, not to condemn the world, but like I said, the world for him might be saved. And he wants us not to live in sin. He wants us to make it. He wants us to make it through pearly gates. I put it that way.
And to take as many people with us. Okay. Yeah. If you're trying to get saved all by yourself and not help anybody else, then something is wrong with you.
That's why he has missionaries out to do the work so that we can win souls over to Christ and not lose them, because time is winding up.
Okay. Well, I think we've did that make it much more clearer to you, Dr. McKenzie, what this was all about, the contextual nature of this program, sir?
Yes.
Dr. Crockett.
Yes.
I my co-host, the VIP-ish, the impact chaser, Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr., asked me when I asked me what the title of the program is about. He asked me a educated question because he's Ivy League trained. What is the contextual nature of this title? So I had to, get into breaking it down for his high intellect. I think he's got it now. So
yes,
I thank you for helping me to help him understand what we were trying to talk about. And thank
May
you,
I,
Chris from California.
Final invitation.
I don't know. Let me get a consensus here. Chris, should we let her share anything else, sir?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right, Chris from California says yes. We got one vote. Let me see. Queen, what do you say?
I say go for it.
Okay, we got two. And I wonder who's the deciding vote here. Dr. McKenzie Jr.
Yes.
All right. I'll say yes in condition. It doesn't take 15 minutes.
It will not. It is from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and 9.
Watch
it
yourself.
It is the verse on which I place sit out to sit in. It's the reason why I do it. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. So with that, I invite you to join me at Sit Out to Sit In. And I look forward to you. You can reach me, SOTSIPPP@gmail.com. And
do
you can
again.
Find us using S as in Sam.
Uh-huh.
O-T. S as in Sam, I. And then three P's, PPP, sitoutatgmail.com and Sit Out to Sit In on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter. It's actually hashtag out to sit, O-U-T, the numeral 2, S-I-T. And see what we've done there, what we've posted. We will be posting more. And we want to keep everybody safe and healthy as possible for the big, big protest in November on the 3rd.
Excellent. Before I go into bless you, hold on a second. Before I go into another situation here, next week we will have the anointed Pastor Jeb Jackson pleading Holiness Church, who will be here to talk about powerless. Has the church lost its power? You won't want to miss it. He is powerful. And so, Chris, are you a business owner, sir?
No, sir. No.
What do you do, Chris?
I'm kind of like an evangelical person. I do a lot of evangelical work, outreach. I've been doing this ministry since 1999.
Wow, professional. Anointed. So if somebody wanted to reach you to get a word or get some encouragement, could they email you or call you? How would they do it?
Well, I do take calls. If somebody wanted to find out, maybe there's something here that I can help them with. You know what I mean? Because God has gifted
sure.
me in a way that allows me to see my gift. You know, it's not like I don't see the gift. I see the gift. You know, it's Himself.
Okay.
And when He shows you your past, because you have to be able to see what love's done for you, right? Otherwise, you ain't going to have nothing to talk about. And you look how wonderful God is in your life, and He's taking your past and making it very good for your future. Now, that's some abilities there, baby.
I like everybody. What's the number they call you?
408-821-2968.
All righty. Fantastic. And let's go over here to Dr. McKenzie. What's the name of your business, sir?
It is JNF Enterprises. And they can connect with us through several different ways. We're on social media, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, JNF Enterprises. And then also the website is www.jnfenterprises.com.
So what do you do, sir?
JNF Enterprises is a distribution, publishing, and business consulting firm. We assist individuals and businesses to be able to bring their vision to reality through branding and through branding and marketing and gaining them more exposure.
You're also a book publisher, aren't you, sir?
Yes, sir. That would be the exactly the book publishing for those that are looking to write a book. We can assist you through that process.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And we're speaking about books. Can you say books?
Say that again.
When you say books, did you say books?
Yes, sir, I do say books.
Okay. When I think of books, I think of no other book besides the Holy Bible than the other books, which is The Other Pulpit, Life Lessons of a Leader, written by yours truly, and Stormproof, a collection of sermons for those who are going through tough times, which they can receive from www.steventurnerministries.com or www.jnfenterprises.com. Yeah, it's fantastic. Let's go to the Queen. Queen, what's your business?
My business is Shock Fremont. My website at www.shockfremont.com 1956. I mean, www.shockfremont.com/1956.
Okay, and you've got some great. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that business consists of natural health products.
So if they want to look as good as you, they can contact you.
Well,
so my wife is pretty. Pretty.
I'm not saying
she
that.
She is pretty.
I'm saying health.
That's what I'm saying.
Health.
I'm saying it.
Within.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate it, David. Thank you so much.
are you taking any notes, Kenzie? So that's what we got to do. All right. Well, thank you. thank you. All right. Well, it's time to sign off now. This has been Elevation Radio 1. If you'd like to be a part of this program, to be what we love so much, a guest sponsor, you can send your bio and photo to Elevation Radio 1, the number 1, at gmail.com. That's Elevation Radio 1 at gmail.com. And we will review it and get back to you. We are moving up in the spiritual realm. So I just want to tell you this as we leave out, to keep your head up. Keep your heads up. Keep your heads up. And that's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold your head up.
Whatever I want, I got it, cause God got it. Whatever you need, you can have it, cause God got it. Don't let your heart be dismayed. Wipe your tears from your eyes, don't be afraid. Come on and trust Him. Believe him. The power in the name of Jesus. Come on and call him. In spite of all, there's no greater name than Jesus. Whatever I want, I got it. Cause God got it. Whatever you need, you can have it. Cause God got it. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. If you know His name, stamp it on your green. I heard the measure of a man is shown through how many feet he has sown in the name of the Holy Spirit. Say you born again, so you can still be acting the same. Can't expect something to change if you never switch the game. Realize you're second in your lane, but the one who leads the train is the Almighty. So gain your confidence and take a stand. It's time for you to stick to the plan. I know it's hard, but understand that you can't fathom how we sent His Son to die for all these sins. That's how we begin on a narrow path leading to heaven. It's time that you start to believe. Cause once you do, I know you'll see that even rain is meant for glee. Because this holy water sprinkling down to turn your mustard seed into the highest, strongest tree of life. Lord, I know I need your might. Lord, I know this not my fight. Lord, don't trust in you tonight.
I want,